Well, it is so good to be here, and I appreciate so much Brother Corallo and the annual trips to Maui that he's promised that we would be able to take, and just looking forward to that. And that is what you said, wasn't it, brother? All right. The only problem was it was a one-way trip. I don't know what that meant. All right. Well, it's so good to be here tonight, and I'm sorry that Brother Stevens, we had planned if we could finish over in Tennessee. I had the joy of being there with my youngest granddaughter being dedicated to the Lord this morning. And then right after that, I had the privilege of baptizing her big sister. And so it was just a blessing to be there. And we had hoped that we could get here quickly enough to just slip in the back of the auditorium and hear Brother Stevens. And so we called and just let him know that we were planning on coming, and he was good with that and everything. Well, about 5 minutes later, he called back and was just telling me about the condition of his wife. He thought that if she could just rest a little bit, but things seemed to just be getting worse. And he really wanted to take her. You may have already heard about this, I'm not sure. But he was wanting to take her to the ER. And Mrs. Stevens is, she's just not one that likes to go to the ER or places like that. So he thought, well, if I can just get her home to where she can relax a little bit, perhaps her heart was racing and just a lot of the other things that were going on. They both suffer a lot with physical maladies. He wouldn't tell you that probably, but they do. And so we certainly want to pray for them and ask God's blessing on them. But he called me back and he said, Brother Bray, would you be able to just open the word tonight? And I said, I'd be more than happy to. But just really, just wanted to come and say thank you, folks. We're looking, we love you already. But it's like Miss Becky and I have been married 9 years. And I thought I loved her when we got married. And I did. But every day that goes beyond that first day, it just gets sweeter. And that'll, I trust, will be the same way as a pastor with his family. So it's so good to have my wife with us tonight. And she's back there in the South 40 somewhere. I can't see that far back very well. But we also, Becky has 4 children, 3 daughters and 1 son that live in Greenville, South Carolina, and then I have 2 sons. One lives in High Point, and then the other one lives in Knoxville, where we were this morning, and they're normal, but we also have a daughter, and she's not so normal, but she's with us tonight, and I'm just teasing, of course. This is our adopted daughter, Hannah. Where are you? Back there? There she is. Okay. And with mom, and we love her. She's been in our family now for about 20 years, maybe a little over that, and not legally adopted, but she just became a part of our family quite a number of years ago, and with the permission of her mother, and her mother was all for it, and so she became a part of our family as well as hers. And so we love her, and so she teaches in the school there at Temple in Asheville, has for a number of years, graduated from Pensacola, and so we're glad to have her with us tonight and hope you'll get to know her a little bit. Well, thank you. I just want to go on and just say we're so thrilled. We are absolutely thrilled. This was not something that I was even thinking about, and I won't put you all through it tonight, but there was just a number of things, even as recent as yesterday, just a number of things where it's just obvious the Lord was preparing us to make a move. And had the hand of the Lord all over it from our perspective. And I'm glad that you folks have accepted us into your family. And we'll try to fit in and just be a part of the family and look forward to it. Well, with that in mind, would you join me in your Bibles to the book of Colossians? To the book of Colossians for just a few minutes tonight. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. And I had planned on changing. I got just about as wet as my young granddaughter did when I baptized. And so if I look like I've been immersed, then there's a reason for that. Didn't get totally immersed, but she's a little one, And when I baptized her, I usually try to just down and up, unless it's someone that's pretty good size, then we both go scuba diving. But with her, she was little, and when she was standing on a little chair there in the baptistry in Knoxville area, in Oak Ridge, actually. And so when I let her down like that, her little feet just went zoop, zoop, up. And so she and I went down together and came up together. And so half of me was wet and half of me wasn't. And so it is just, we just were thrilled to be able to come and to be a part of it. Now, with your Bibles open to the first chapter, if you do that with me. And it's a wonderful text. I love it. And I think it has a special relevance to tonight. And at least for my family, for me particularly, and for Becky, being the pastor's wife. And to be honest with you, the Lord began dealing with her heart before he did mine. And I think I mentioned this, I believe I did at the question and answer time we had over in the fellowship hall with some great desserts. But the last time I was here, just to fill in, third string kind of a thing, and it was after that, that the Lord began dealing with my heart. It was actually the very next day. I was on my knees praying. We've already been through that, so I won't put you through it again. But I was on my knees praying about something unrelated. And God began dealing with my heart about it. And then just, several hours later, it was during our fall break there at Ambassador. So I was home, and we were going to go out and do a day trip or something. I don't remember where we were going. But as we were pulling out of the driveway, I said, Becky, I don't know if it's because I ate too much pizza, you know, the last time we did or whatever, but don't be worried about it. And I'm hem-hawing around a little bit. But I said, I went down out of the driveway onto the little cul-de-sac there, and I said, it seems as though maybe, just maybe, don't worry about it, probably nothing to it, but it seems as though the Lord may have been or is preparing us, perhaps, to see about pastoring in Hendersonville. And she said, well, my heart, first time we were there, which was several weeks earlier, first time we were there, the Lord began dealing with my heart and just loving the people. And so she hadn't said anything to me about it until I brought it up at that occasion. And so that really began. I'd already filled out about a legal pad thing just going down, down, and down as to why. This is right after I got off my knees in that morning. And just I said, Lord, if this has your hand on it, this is the initial time. If this has your hand on it, Lord, would you just give me some reasons why? And I got up off my knees there on a little bench in our little sitting room there. I put the legal pad down on my lap and I began writing. Boom, 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 boom. And that's after that is when we went down the driveway. We did whatever it was we did. We came back home. I called Dr. Stevens and I said, would you mind if I drop by your house? And he said, well, sure, come on. And I did. And I won't put you through the rest of it again tonight. But that's the kind of thing that's been happening to us almost daily since this started. Different things began happening that just seemed to have the hand of the Lord on it. And if you folks had voted otherwise, I would have come in with my six-shooter. And no, I wouldn't have either, all right? But I would have said, well, praise the Lord. Evidently, that's not what God wanted. But folks, just our hearts were here. Just to be honest with you, I think the Constitution requires a 51% vote of the members present. Is it something close to that? Okay, favorable majority. And so the Lord just laid on my heart that when I got up off my knees, I'm doing this. Normally you like to get at least 80%, 85%, maybe 90%, just to know that when you go in as a pastor. But when I got up off my knees and I began writing this, the Lord laid on my heart, and I didn't know what it was. The Lord said, be willing to take. At least this is the way I interpret it. The Lord dealt with my heart about being willing to take whatever the Constitution says. And then when I got up off my knees, and maybe later that day or the next day or whenever, I read the Constitution, I had, and I looked at it like 51%. But I said, okay, if that's what the Lord wants, if there's 51% and God calls us here, then that's what we'll do. And so when I got the message from Brother Corallo today, my heart just rejoiced. So enough of that. I'm just rambling on telling you I love you already. And thank you for your trust. Now, with that in mind, to be honest with you, as we're driving back, when we found out from Brother Stevens that, about doing the message here tonight, maybe an abbreviated one. He didn't say that, but we'll make it that way. But I have somewhere written in the back of my Bible my new life verse. And so as I was driving along, I had Becky look, and that was what I was going to speak on, my new life verse. It's an exciting text, if I can just remember where it is. And it's back in the back of my Bible somewhere I wrote that. And I thought, well, that's what I'll do. And so she looked diligently. I mean, through all my writing and everything else, she started looking here and looking there. I couldn't. And so I said, would you do me a favor? Would you look up Colossians chapter 1? I believe it would be fitting for tonight. And I said, now I know what verse 28 says, but would you look at verse 25 and read from verse 25? And so she did. And I believe it's divinely just, I think God dealt with my heart about it, because I think it is absolutely relevant to this evening especially. All right, so let's look at it. Colossians 1, 25, the Bible records it like this. Paul said, whereof I am made a minister. Okay, so God's called me to be a minister. Look at the next phrase. According to the dispensation. Now, if you're not familiar, many of you are, what a dispensation is. It's used a lot of times in Bible college and studies in theology and so forth. But a dispensation, looking at it from a studying standpoint and from a scriptural standpoint, when God has different dispensations, there's two things that are involved in a dispensation. One is a period of time. There's a starting time. And there's an ending time, okay? The church age had a starting point, and at the rapture of the church, it'll have an ending point, okay? So there's a period of time that it begins and it ends. The second part of it is why it has a beginning point and an ending point. Because the beginning point of a dispensation is the beginning of something that did not occur previously. That in God's calendar of events, that it has not yet been where God wanted it to happen prior to that. For example, the church age was not in the Old Testament period. It was not in the time of government. It was not in the... But when it started, okay, we'll get into that later, but when the church age started, something was going to happen that had not happened previously. And we know a number of those things, like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in everyone's life who trusted Christ as Savior. So the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament, but he did not indwell every single believer at the moment they were born as a son of Abraham, okay? But in the New Testament dispensation, in the church age, when a person accepted Jesus Christ, immediately the Holy Spirit came and he seals that individual, his eternal salvation, and that is good until the day of redemption, until we see Jesus face to face, either at the death and I'm with the Lord, or at the rapture of the church. So that's a dispensation. So that dispensation, the church age, ends, began at Pentecost. It's when fully involved, but basically at Pentecost. And it will end at the rapture of the church, the New Testament church, when we go up to be with the Lord. So a beginning and an ending. Paul is saying here, notice if you will, now he's not talking about the church age or dispensationalism, but notice what he says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Here's what Paul's saying. Yes, God called, God separated Paul to be an apostle of the Gentiles from his mother's womb. But he wasn't saved until the day when he was on the road to Damascus. And the light Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why is it hard for you to kick against the pricks and so forth? And in the process where Saul of Tarsus became Paul, the apostle, when he got saved in the calling of God. And he is saying here that God led me into your lives for a reason. Let's see what it says. Which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Well, what is that? Even the mystery which had been hid from the ages, from generations. He's talking about the coming of the Christ, the New Testament church age, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, all that's wrapped up in it. But now is made manifest to the saints. So in the Old Testament period, there were some prophecies that these things were going to happen about the coming of the Messiah, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and all of that. That was a mystery. They didn't understand it. The prophets wrote about it, but they didn't understand everything about it. But Paul is saying now that mystery has been revealed. So let's go on then. Verse 27. To whom? Okay, for you, the saints. To whom God would make known. Here we go. What is the riches? The word riches there has the idea of opulence, just exceeding wealth. To whom God would make known what is the opulence of the glory of the mystery which is among the Gentiles. Here we go. Which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. You just had testimonies. We were able to sneak in the back there and to hear two or three of them. We talk about the goodness of God. We talk about how God used Brother Stevens here. And praise the Lord for that. Amen. And I'm all about the church doing something for the Stevens family. He would say, no, don't you do it. No, that's not why God called me there to be a blessing to the church. Don't you do anything. But I think, to whom honor is due, then we ought to do something that says, praise God for how God used you in our lives. Anybody interested in that? Amen? Amen. Amen. And Mrs. Stevens as well. Just great, great saints. Now, he'd rather pick at me than eat. But beside that, just a great, great man. And I pick right back at him. So we have a good time of it. But notice what he says, to whom God would make known the riches of the glory of the mystery which is in you among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now notice verse 28. It is profoundly important. He says, whom we preach. We're not lifting up ourselves. I'm not here to say, oh, you folks are so fortunate to have that brave guy. Oh, he just exceeds in his greatness only by his humility. You know, I'm not here to do that. My goodness, I'm a gentleman that Jesus saved, and I didn't deserve it. Oh, my goodness. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. I know he said that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I'd be right there with him. And I imagine your testimony would give acclamation to that as well for your life. But he says here, whom we preach. We're not to lift up anyone in particular. Yes, honor and so forth. But whom we preach. Now, why do we preach it? He says, whom we preach and teaching every man. That's what we want to do at Calvary Baptist Church. Of just saying, dear Lord, that's our ambition. We want to preach Jesus Christ. Hendersonville needs Jesus. Amen? There's other churches that preach the Lord. We wouldn't be the only one, but we're the only one for right here. We want to have this ministry to reach out to everyone and anywhere around this area, whether it's door to door, whether it's inviting a friend or a relative, whether it's on a radio broadcast, no matter what it is, we want folks to know our Jesus. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But the Bible also says for those who are not saved, that whosoever is not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh my goodness, says the fearful and the adulterer and the abominable and the whoremonger and the adulterer and the fornicator. So they said they shall all have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone. Dear friend, you and I want to tell those around us about our wonderful Savior. And that'll certainly be one of the priorities of Calvary Baptist Church. But he doesn't stop there. Says whom we preach and teach every man in all wisdom. Why? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's our ambition. In other words, as a result of the service tonight, and as a result of our iron sharpening iron, whether behind the pulpit or in the pew or just friend with friend, maybe at a fellowship, maybe just having a Bible study, wherever we are, that the process of our fellowship ought to be such in Sunday school, evening service, wherever we are, it ought to be that we're presenting every man perfect or more complete. I haven't looked it up recently, but I believe this is the same word that comes from the Aramaic when Jesus was, when he was on the cross. And after going through all the agonies, and suspended between the heaven he created and the earth he created, and hanging on a cross that even the tree he created, he finally cried out to Tetelestai. He said, "It is finished." That word "finished" is the same word we have here, if I remember correctly, that means perfect. It's complete. He wasn't saying that I'm now finally able to die. My bones are pulled out of joint and I thirst and all the other things that had been prophesied that would happen to our Savior. It wasn't that at all. When he cried out, "It is finished," he was talking about the plan of salvation that saved a 17-year-old boy named Randy Bray on a sidewalk on a way back to a dormitory. And you can give your testimony tonight. Maybe it wasn't on a sidewalk. Maybe it was in a Sunday school class or at Mama's apron, or maybe it was wherever it was. But the reason Jesus died on that cross was so that salvation's plan would be completed. It wasn't started there. It was before eternity, in eternity past, before the foundation of the world. And as he anticipated all that would happen before the foundation of the world that he would have to go through, and it would find its consummation, it would find its place of completion on a cross, when he would say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then he said, "It is finished." My Bible says this, herein is love, in your Bible too, in 1 John, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, that which would remove the wrath of God because of our sins. The propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So tonight, as you and I are here, we talk about a new dispensation. I'm not talking about Randy Bray as any better than anybody else. My goodness, no. But as you and I embark on this journey that we have together in Hendersonville, North Carolina, some of you have been residents of this area for a lifetime. My wife and I are looking forward to being residents here just as soon as we can get our little abode ready to go and on the market and sold. And we just believe God's going to do it. Now, he may not. We believe it's going to be, as things are happening, kind of quickly to get our house ready. Even before we had even thought about moving to Hendersonville, well, not, we wanted to end up here eventually. But as we were just thinking about, we want to downsize. And so we started thinking about, well, what do we need to do to get our house ready to sell? This is months before any of this even began to happen. But here in recent weeks, it's just been accelerated. Even as I said, even as recent as yesterday, that I have something that really needs to be done. And I had talked to somebody some time ago about it. And just really hadn't talked to him in the last number of days and thought, well, it's kind of on the back burner and maybe it's not going to happen for a while. And we hope that maybe I can do it in some other way. He called me first thing yesterday morning and he said, "Brother Bray," he said, "I know this is last minute." He said, "but we had something else scheduled that the guy that works with him were supposed to do, and some tools or something didn't come in." He said, "would it be okay if we went ahead and started tomorrow?" Or today, not tomorrow, today. This was yesterday. And I said, "that sounds real good." And not knowing how the vote would go. And yet, it's just that kind of a thing that just has, I believe, God's handiwork all over it. And with that in mind, This isn't a new dispensation from a biblical perspective of starting a new. It, for you, it's a continuation. But as we start this new relationship as pastor and people and pastor's wife and people, we are so excited at looking at what God's doing. And with that in mind, here's our ambition. As it says in verse 28, whom we preach, it'll be all about him. Warning every man. Why? In the same way, I'm reading through the Apocalypse, the book of the Revelation. I'm teaching eschatology in the school this coming semester on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And of course, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be up here. And they're hoping, they're trying to work it. The situation we had worked out is that if you folks did call us, that I would have to teach Tuesday and Thursday. And then the summer, I have summer modules that I teach. Usually it's philosophy of Christian education, the book of Romans, and possibly counseling. But the academic dean told me Friday, he says, it looks like it may work out to where we're not going to have you teach this module, at least at the beginning of the summer, so that you can be in Hendersonville. And so that's what I'm talking about. Just this and that, and this was again before the vote. And so it just looks like the Lord's doing it. But in the book of the Revelation, towards the last, just before the end days, the vile judgments, the bowl judgments and all of that, the Bible says that there's three angels. I may have mentioned this in one of the messages that I've preached here. But there's three angels that are going to fly over the earth. This is during the tribulation, towards the end of it. The first angel is basically going to be preaching the gospel. I won't do it tonight, but just basically if we wrapped up what he's going to be saying as he's flying over the earth, it's the preaching of the gospel. It says he's followed by a second angel, and the second angel says Babylon has fallen. That the world at that time, listening to the false prophet and all of that, and everybody's putting their faith in the Antichrist and in the false prophet and all of that, and now the world is going through chaos, and it's about the worst of the vile judgments, the bold judgments is going to be poured out. And just before that's happening, the second angel is saying, Babylon has fallen. So the first angel is saying the gospel. The next angel that's flying over right after the first angel is saying what you've been putting your faith in is gone. In a day, the Bible says. It's gone. The merchants, the seamen that have been coming and doing their merchandise there, it's gone. The instruments of finance throughout the world that have been putting their focus on that, it's gone. So he is saying, first of all, the gospel. Secondly, what you've been putting your faith in is gone. And then thirdly, the third angel that follows right after that, he says, judgment is coming. That's how much God loves the lost. That even in the midst of the tribulation, even in the midst when a third of the trees are going to be gone, even in the midst of everything else that's going to be gone, in the ocean where a third's going to just it's awful from one thing to another. There will be those who trust Christ as their Savior, realizing maybe they heard the story in VBS. Maybe they heard it in a radio broadcast or a coworker that alongside work at the workplace. And listen, you need to know the Lord as your Savior. Praise God that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he says, warning every man. But then he says this, teaching every man. What are we teaching him? In all wisdom. And that's what this pulpit ministry needs to be about. And the Sunday school class that you have here in the auditorium and all throughout this complex, that you have various Sunday schools going on. That's what it's doing. Teaching every man in all wisdom. Why? That we may present every man perfect, complete in Christ. Oh, one day there's going to be the Bema Seat of Christ, or the Bema Seat of Christ, however you want to pronounce it. And what a glorious time it'll be if we use wisely the opportunities that we have. If we have those opportunities to make something right with someone else, so that with one mouth and one mind, and I think I preached this last Sunday, with one mouth and one mind, one heart, one mind, we are able to have that kind of unity in this fellowship of believers, so that we can warn every man, yes, but teaching every man in wisdom. Why? That we may present every man perfect in Christ. Verse 29, and this is my heart. Paul said, whereunto I also labor, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily. I will tell you this. God's called me to be your pastor. I have no doubt about it. I'm honored, and Becky is honored, that you've asked us to serve you. Okay? With our hearts. That is my ambition, is the last verse of that chapter. Is that God will allow me to grow in Him and serve you in the capacity that has this in mind with my whole heart. It's already geared up and ready to go. I used to do some flying. Well, actually, I didn't. The airplane did. But I piloted as I went out. And I couldn't go very far because as a youth pastor, you don't make a substantial income. And so finally, after flying quite a few hours, it dawned on me, it just isn't going to happen. So I never really flew any retractable aircraft. But if you'll watch an airplane that has retractable gear, the wheels, you'll notice that as soon as they're off the ground, if it's the kind where they pull it up or they crank it up from the cockpit, or if it's a button, they do it and it does it automatically, as soon as that aircraft is off the ground, you'll know that they're retracting those wheels. That's called geared up and ready to go. Because if they leave the gear down, they have the force of the air. They have the force of the air that's working against the airplane trying to fly. When I first started, Mr. Anderson, that owned the airplane and the airport, when I was taking lessons, before I got my first license, or the license, he would say, all right, we just give it all the throttle, and the airplane would be going, I forget, 60, 70 miles an hour down the runway, whatever it was, I don't remember. He says, you're not going to have to take the airplane off. You're going to find that it wants to fly. When it gets up, because of the wings and everything, when it gets up to that airspeed, it's going to show you that it's wanting to fly. When it does that, then just gradually pull back on the yoke, and you already have full throttle, and you'll be able to take off. But if you don't pull up that gear in a retractable airplane, if you don't pull it up, it's going to be dragging on the air, and it's going to restrict your forward movement. And here's my point. I don't want anything dragging the air in my heart for my love for this church and each one of you. I'll just say it. I hope this comes across well. Your opinion of me, and I mean this sincerely, your opinion of me is secondary to God's opinion of you. If God wants it, I want to be used of God in your lives, and every one of your lives, and any God allows us to have in this assembly. And I'm asking God to use me. And I want us to be heart to heart. I want that as much as I want to live. And Becky does as well. But if for some reason there's something there, and I would understand that. I have a unique way of sticking both feet in my mouth. I mean, I can put them in at the same time. And they only get any wiggle room so I can put my arm in there too. So I can, sometimes things come out backwards or whatever, and I can understand that. I can understand that. I can give you a whole list of reasons why there ought to be something there. But my point is that my ambition is the last verse in verse number 28 of this chapter. I want God to use me in your life. I want us to when we see Jesus, I want us to see Jesus heart to heart in one way or another. And if we'll do that, and it won't just be preacher and people, but it'll be friend with friend. And we'll just join together as iron sharpening iron. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do in this place in days and months and years to come. Let's be used of God some way every day. Let's grow in the Lord some way every day. And if in the present there's anything at all, that would be the gear down. Maybe it's a disappointment. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a whatever. I don't know whatever it would be. But if the forward movement of this ministry is going to be handicapped by an opposing force, whatever it is, just take it to the Lord
And let's ask God to help us bring it to the surface, Lord, and let's deal with it and just see what God can do. That's my heart. And it'll be maintained in my heart. I'll give you that promise. And if you have any question, please feel free. Come see me and say, "Preacher, can we sit down?" And I'll be more than happy. Becky will be more than happy. God's called us here. I have no doubt. With everything God's put us through in the last month to show us, this is it, this is it. And you just don't know until the vote comes in. Well, how's it going to be? They have to be of that mind too, Lord. That has something to do with it. But it just kept looking that way. And now with that being confirmed this morning, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. The old song, the old gospel song, I'm not going to sing it for you because I don't want the light bulbs to pop. The old gospel song, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open. Whatever that is, I don't remember the rest of the words. But the last of it is no secret what God can do. And that's true not only in the matter of salvation, but in the matter of walking with him. This, and I'm finished. I love Romans chapter 8. You're familiar with 28? 26 says this, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We don't even know, we can't comprehend it. But it says the Spirit itself, himself, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And he which knoweth the hearts of man, that's the Father, knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he's God too. The heart of I can't say it without going back over to God. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for the saints with groanings which cannot be uttered. He which knoweth the hearts of man knoweth the mind of the Spirit, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together. It's the word synergy. They work together. Okay, we'll deal with that another day. But they work together in a unique way. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This last verse, and I'm finished. For whom he did foreknow, he knew that you'd get saved. He knew that you'd get saved. He knew that I would get saved. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. He did predetermine. He chose ahead of time for everyone who would put their faith in the Son of God, his Son. He chose ahead of time for us to be conformed, made into the very image, to be conformed to the image of Christ. That ought to be our daily ambition. In our quiet time with the Lord, in the midst of trial, in the midst of great opportunity, that at the conclusion of that day, as we pillow our heads and sleep at night, and say, "Thank you, Father, for another day in which I could grow in you to be more like your Son." May God help us to see him do that work of grace in our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. I love you folks already, but I'm looking forward to learning new things to where I can love you in that way too, and love you in this way too, and love you in that way too. And I trust that you'll take me on as a missionary project and love on me too. And that may take some doing, but we'll just see what God can do in this place. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. I hope that you'll meet our daughter, and Hannah, she's back on the... They normally wouldn't sit on the next to the back row, but we didn't want to disturb with the testimonies tonight that were wonderful to hear, and some prayer requests in there too. If you'll join me in standing then. Now, I'm not exactly sure how Wednesday night is going to go. Here's the way it was kind of scheduled, as I understand it. With talking with Brother Stevens, my wife and I were not planning on being here Sunday or Wednesday night. We were hoping to sneak in tonight and just enjoy being with you and hearing Brother Stevens preach. But our church, along with several others in Asheville, independent Baptist churches, are starting tonight. They have a big tent. And a couple of evangelists have come in, and about a half dozen or so independent Baptist churches in our Cleveland County area are having an evangelistic crusade every night this week. And so I'm also a deacon at, I'm a deacon and a pastor at the same time. How do you do that? I'm not sure. But anyway, obviously we will be resigning that position. But because I'm a deacon and a member of Maranatha Baptist Church, that my wife and I, and we have, they've not said it publicly at Maranatha that we were considering coming here, and as you were considering that. And so this would be our last Wednesday night there. However, depending on Mrs. Stevens' condition, you folks want me to come back and Brother Stevens is not able to come back, then we are more than eager to come back as well. So I'll leave that up to Brother Curallo and Brother Stevens to see how that goes. But we certainly want to pray for this dear sister. All right. Will you pray with me, please, and we'll be dismissed. Father, my heart is just enthralled with the opportunity of investing however many years here that you would have for us. Lord, it's not by accident. It's by the loving kindness that you've called us here for Becky and me, but also the loving kindness of these dear friends. And Lord, I pray that my leadership will not be one of charisma. It'll not necessarily be one of great academic endeavors and abilities. But dear Father, if I know my heart wants to provide the leadership here that is godly, that is after thy word and guided by thy spirit, so that, Father, my leadership will be that sweet savor of Christ unto you, as it says, and then to others. I believe I preached about that one of the Sundays. And so, Lord, I want with all of my heart tonight for myself, but also for each one of us in this assembly to reflect what we've seen in the Word that would draw us more closely to thy Son, and thy Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, so that the opportunities of fellowship will be enhanced, yes. But even more importantly than that, so that our ability to edify one another, Bible principle with Bible principle, iron sharpening iron, providing those opportunities of edifying, building up one another, those spiritual households, so to speak. But not only that, Lord, for fellowship, for edification, but there's a world all around us that are without your Son. And Father, may we be that candle, not held under a bushel, but held out brightly, so that those who are looking for the light, they may not know how to find it. But help our, we want our light to shine so brightly, Father, for your glory, that those who are just wanting to know you will see that light as a personal testimony at a workplace, or in a crusade of ministries here to the event, to the lost, or from the pulpit ministry in the Sunday school hour. But Father, may we have that ambition to know thy Son well from the Word of God, and let it radiate through our lives, and we'll give you the glory for it. Please dismiss us with thy blessing. But Father, we would also ask that you would be with our dear sister and his and her sweet husband, Lord, the Stevens. Lord, I've known these people for many, many years, have gotten to know them even better in recent years. They're dear saints, Lord. They love you. They love this ministry. They've been used of you in this ministry. Mrs. Stevens really should not have been coming for quite a few weeks. She refused to stay home. Even though she knew that she would hurt, she refused to do it. She said, I'm going to go. Brother Stevens tried his best to get her to stay home. No, I'm going with you. So, Lord, in this hour of her need, Holy Spirit, you're so gracious. Father, you love her infinitely and eternally, and you're the great physician. Would you minister to her? Lord, I didn't hear all the testimonies tonight, and I've not seen all the prayer requests that are listed, but, Father, there's many others who could also be represented in those prayer requests tonight, along with the Stevens, of great difficulties, physically or in other ways. So, Father, though I do not know their names, may I include them in this heartfelt prayer of saying, Lord, would you please minister in their behalf? and we'll give you glory for it. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. The Lord bless you. We love you. Thank you for calling us.